Hi, everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Foundations. We are so glad that you are with us tonight. We are live, and we would love for you to just make yourself comfortable, invite a friend, share this broadcast, and come on and join us, because tonight we are going to talk about taking your therapy goal outside with Sarah Collins from Homeschool OT. And I'm so excited to have this conversation because we've been talking about outside learning, but we haven't been talking about like therapy. We've been talking more like school and education, field trips and those types of things. And I think our parents in the back of their mind are like, well, what about all this stuff that we have to do with our kids to just keep them on their goals? And I know Sarah's going to bring us some encouragement that we can do that even outside too. So welcome. I'm so glad to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. This is one of my favorite topics. And the world of occupational therapy, so many people are now heading outside anyway. So I absolutely love it.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm excited to learn because I don't even know about that. So yes, we're going to dive into that soon. I also want to thank Clearwater Press for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversation. Hear a little bit more about the writing curriculum that they offer. But if you want to check them out ahead of time, you can go to clearwaterpress.com. And if you're watching, know that, and I see some of you are watching, that you can join in our conversation, and we would love that. We'd love to know where you're from and maybe some therapy goals that you want to take out. Include that as part of our conversation. That's why we're live. Thank you for joining us, and hope you can stay. So as we're getting started, Sarah, I would just love for you to share a little bit about some of your history background. And I know you have some slides, so I'm going to bring those up. I know you've got some of that on there, and just tell me when to go to the next slide and I will do that. And for those of you watching, know that we can stop at any point and add in your questions and comments too. We'd love to do that.
Definitely. I love to think through each family and people. I mean, that's the basis of occupational therapy, is that we look at specific people. So throw them at me. I would love to help throughout this whole thing. Yeah. Awesome. So actually the very first slide starts talking a little bit about me. So if you go to that one, and then I can expand a little bit. But basically who I am, I'm an occupational therapist. I've worked primarily, I worked full-time for a long time when my kiddos were little, and I was working, and then they started going to school, and we just really thought that's what we do. You know, we followed right along with what we thought.
What everybody does usually. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was actually through occupational therapy. I was working within a client's home, and I saw her. She was homeschooled. Well, so I was working with like grandma over here, and I saw the daughter who was homeschooling her kids. And her atmosphere within her house was just, it facilitated learning all around her. And it was just something to be seen and to be, I looked at her and I loved walking into that house and working with grandma over here. And the good thing is that with occupational therapy, so much of what our role is to help people resume, you know, working or doing life the way that they did before. And so like working with him and including her really mattered. So I kind of got to be a little piece of it. And it was very shortly after that, my husband got a new job up here in Pennsylvania. And so we got to start our own homeschool. The very interesting thing with that was that I tried to take exactly what she did in her house and bring it into my house. And
how did that work?
Some of it was beautiful. Most of it did not seem as peaceful as hers. So it wasn't actually until we started doing some of this nature and being outside and that really it. Our homeschool took kind of on its own atmosphere that I would call beautiful now. So this is part of the reason why this is such a big and fantastic topic for me. So, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's a great example that you share too, because no two homeschools ever look alike, and no. We just can't replicate what someone else does. So thank you for sharing that. That's an encouragement for many, I'm sure.
Because our kids are different and our atmospheres are different and our environments and what our kids like to do, they're all very different. And that's the beauty of homeschooling.
Exactly. Well said. I totally
Perfect.
Agree.
So if you can go to the next one, and I'm going to show you exactly kind of when we changed over.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that picture right there is of my daughter, and she's outside. She's walking, just walking along this little path with her binoculars. And so my daughter is fantastically made, wonderfully made, and very tightly wound, very, very tightly wound. She is a show that really likes to know what's coming and then likes to have her goals and likes to be striving straight for them. And then when things kind of don't go the way that she wants, it's a big learning curve for her. And she has come a long way. Yes. And so much of that has to do with us going outside and just taking in our environments. I was publicly educated. My kids were at the beginning, obviously. And I really thought that like what I was going to be doing with my life was serving people through my occupational therapy full-time career. And then once we got home, again, like I tried to bring in her homeschool into our homeschool. And the biggest problem with that was my daughter, who was expecting what she had in public school and then was also expecting like what I told her was going to happen. So when it wasn't working really well and we stopped and walked outside and really started to take in our surroundings, and I could just kind of watch her unwind a little bit more each and every time. And this picture, it still gets me a little teary, because it's, I would say it's the time, right, that we started to find our own groove and to really realize that so much of the beauty that we have the time now to observe and to see and to take in and to learn from, we just have that gift of time now, and it's so great. It's so great.
Mm-hmm. And time is really, when you get down to it, that's the most important part of homeschooling, is that one-on-one, it's what you cultivate in those moments. That it, you can add in whatever curriculum, some curriculum helps more than others, but it's that relationship and, just spending time with your kids. I totally agree. Love that you point that out.
Move on to the next one. So time for her has been huge. Time now for my son is completely different. And what we are shooting for when we are outside is completely different. So who we are now, when I said before that we were, it took a while to figure out what our groove is. So who we are now, we are weekly hikers, actually twice a week. We
love
do
that.
A Sabbath hike every Sunday with just as our family. Every Friday we do a nature group where it started off with four families, and sometimes we have upwards of 50 kids now. I mean, clearly it's different with COVID and going back. And so it very much fluctuates. But so we now are kind of leaders as far as taking people outside. And it is fantastic for my children. But my son, it has been especially very, very helpful for. He is a very active kid. He also... anything that requires him to sit takes a whole lot of time beforehand to prep him for. So meaning that he is really a sensory seeker, but what he's seeking is a lot of movement and joint. The term we use is joint proprioception. So it's the feedback through his joints, which actually helps to calm him down. So he really needs a lot of this movement. The other thing is that he really, really struggled learning how to read. And you and I talked about this in our last conversation, which was about a year ago, I think. But we really were talking at that point about vision and literacy and all of the pre-writing skills. And so for my son, he was not visually scanning left to right. His eye musculature was not developing at a quick speed. You know, it was actually very slow. And it all came to a head. We were, when we were really trying to help him to read, and he looked at me one day and was like, "Mom, how do you read when the words are moving on the page?" Well, they don't. That's the thing. They don't move on the page. So being an occupational therapist, you know, I was able to really hone in with him on what that meant. And we did seek out some extra help. He went in and got vision therapy. We were working a lot on visual scanning, looking left to right. We were looking on working on convergence, which is, you know, your eyes teaming together and moving in the center, so that you can, that's really pertinent when you are, you know, looking at the board or looking at something far away and then needing to look down close by. And so we really started using outdoors to help to reinforce those goals. And so I'll talk about that.
See how that was happening.
It was really beautiful.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. All right.
Go on to the next one. Yeah. So here's the other thing. You know, there are so many different philosophies of education. You know, we talk about all the time that there is no right or wrong way to do it. Charlotte Mason is one that really talks a lot about being outside. The two principles that really stand forth and outright to me when she's talking about this are that children are born persons. We talked about this a little bit already, is that every kiddo is different, you know, but we can give them the freedom to be that person, especially if we're heading outside and just giving them more open time. And she also says, never be within doors when you can rightly be without. And I will take that one to heart every day.
So totally agree. Yep. Those are great. And we want to mold our children into something so cookie cutter-ish, and we don't even realize that we have this philosophy, and that when you see it like this, you know, on the screen, it's like, oh yeah, they are a person, and I'm, you know, train them up in the way they should go. It means that's where their uniqueness in there, how much you can stuff them into the same mold.
They have their own strengths and they have their own purpose, and like, our job is to help to shepherd them along that way. It's not to create what we think or what society thinks that they should be or anything. It's to be able to shepherd them.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
You can go on.
So what is OT? That's a good question.
Right. So what is occupational therapy? So, and how does this help outside? So occupational therapy is defined, and I'm just going to read the actual definition, and then I'll kind of tell you what mine is. But it's defined as the therapeutic use of everyday life occupations with persons, group, or populations for the purpose of enhancing or enabling participation. So basically what we look at is that we consider the side or the specific skills. We consider the environment, which is everything that's kind of around us, obviously, or within your home or in the area where you live. And then we consider the occupation. So what is it that they need to do or they want to do? And again, this is they, this is your child and what they specifically need and want to do. So we consider all of those things. And we do it within an art and a science. And that's, if you follow me at all at social media, I have been talking about the art and the science all month long of how the science of neuroscience, anatomy, physiology, kinesiology, even the science, you know, cognitive functions of the science of learning and science of relations that Charlotte Mason talks about so much, knowing all of this science and then applying it to that specific person, that's the art of it. And that's so great. And that is what we can really facilitate when we are heading outside. So when we're looking at goals specifically, we can be setting them based on the skills that a person needs. And that's the science. That's mm-hmm. what we're going to be going through here in a few minutes. Okay. But then really looking at the participation and that application, where whatever environment right. that you're in.
Okay. Yeah. And outside it can change so much. So you've got mm-hmm. quite a plethora of things to choose from. I want to thank, Terry said she was looking for us. It took a while, but I found you. Glad I was successful. Well, welcome, Terry. We're glad to have you with us.
That's my mom.
Ah, awesome.
Mom, I'm glad you're here. Hi.
Yes.
Always the supporter. I love it.
Yes. Awesome.
All right. So how does this mesh with the homeschool? So the occupational therapist, question. You know, when you are going into therapy, so much of what we talk about, exactly what I just explained, is the person, the occupation, and the environment. Mm-hmm. And then we use occupation in really in two different ways. We use occupation as a goal. So like, what does your mm-hmm. child need and want to do eventually, or what are we striving towards?
Yep. Okay.
And then we try mm-hmm. to use occupation to actually meet those goals. So like a prime example, I have so many families who are coming to me talking about handwriting and talking about their mm-hmm. children's grasp on a pencil, which is, so that yeah. would be the goal, right? Would be the handwriting. Mm-hmm. But to get yep. that, we also need core strength. You need shoulder yes. strength. You need to be able to mm-hmm. move your hands. And those mm-hmm. we can meet by being outside and climbing and moving around over obstacles. That's all going to build that core mm-hmm. strength and the shoulder strength. And your finger skills, if you're outside and you're picking up small little rocks and objects, that's the mm-hmm. same thing. So we can use the occupation of, you know, being outside and climbing around. You're using that occupation right. to meet the goal of your handwriting. So that's kind of what the OT's role okay. is. And then our role as homeschool parents are to be able to know, you know, you are the experts in your children. So you are really the ones who are, who knows your own children's wants and your own children's needs. And you're able to take kind of what we are talking about here of these goals and really apply it into your children in your environment.
Yes. Yes. Cause all of our environments are different. Some of us yeah. live in the city, some in the country, and you know, you have access to maybe a playground or maybe a tree. Yes, and yeah, like you said, all of our children are different too. So we've got those two factors coming together. So that's awesome. And just to be able to get them to reach those goals but you know, breaking it down. I loved how you broke down the handwriting, because if we just make them write more, they're going to be better at writing. But thinking of that whole person, that whole picture, and like the whole upper body. We were just watching Karate Kid this last weekend, and it made me think of a wax on, wax off.
Oh, you don't know yes. how many times I've had my children washing windows, and they wonder why my little 5-year-old is like scrubbing all the windows, and he's writing his math work up on the drawing up on our window, and then washing mm-hmm. it off.
Yeah. Yep.
He'll get right in there. Yes. No idea. He's working on handwriting.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah. All right. You can move on.
Great. Okay.
Okay. So here we go. I'm going to try to start to explain a little bit more about each of the skills that we look at when mm-hmm. we are outside and what the, so occupational therapy breaks down the skills within the person. You know, I was explaining a little bit about the person, the environment, and the occupation. So we really look at the skills mm-hmm. within the person as processing skills, as motor skills, and as social skills. So we go through all three of those, and that's kind of how I'm going to break it down this way.
Okay, that's awesome. Looking forward to it. All right, so examples, love it.
Yes. Right. So here I mentioned a little bit about my son and about his vision and what we were really working on with him. So the occupation mm-hmm. that he obviously needed to be able to do was to learn to read. And that's what was really mm-hmm. holding him back was his vision. The occupation that he wanted to do, though, was to be able to play hockey. And this was huge for him to be able to play.
Yeah.
I know. And he actually just going to toot his little horn for a second, but he just tried out again a couple weeks ago and made our top team for our local league.
Oh, yay!
So all of this was
exciting. Yes.
So what was happening for him, I mentioned, was convergence disorder, visual scanning, problems with sensory processing. And so we just used so much outside. Now, again, this was in addition to his therapy, where he was going to vision therapy. But what we were doing was things like he would be bird watching. So he would look outside and even close by in our bird feeder. And then we would find it in a book right next to him. So he was looking out and then looking down. We did a ton of looking out and trying to find specific details. So what does the beak look like? What does the eye, you know, what are the eyes look like? And then he would draw. So again, he's looking.
So you're going up and then down. Yeah. Okay. Very cool.
Tadpole catching, which that's what he's doing right there. But there he was standing left to right, which is the motor pattern that we were looking for. So he's all over the water that's down below. And those little things are fast. Right,
they are yes,
very slowly. So he did a lot of that. Hiking with intentional questions. So I would be, I did a lot of I spy with my little eye, you know, looking out. You know, in the woods when we're on our hike, or trying to find some tiny little things that were nearby. Of what kind of flower is that? And do you have you ever seen that one before? So he's recalling and having to come up with a visual memory. All of these things that really targeted the exact same skills that he was working on in therapy. And so here's my little PSA as far as families who are, who have their kids in therapy, which I think is absolutely fantastic. OT is a, obviously I am an OT, but I think occupational therapists have a huge role within the, our homeschooling community. But you should know what your children's goals are there. And there's so many people that I talk to that I'm like, I don't know what she's working on in OT, or
really?
No, I don't know what the OT is setting the goals for. So if you, they should be sharing with you, they should be part of your team and sharing with you what the goals are. And so that you can carry it over into your homeschool day, into the, your outside, into, you know, your life, because that's our point, is to help our kids to do what they want and they need to do. So if we are looking at it within our whole daily life, you have all the time in the world to be able to incorporate these things naturally.
Yeah. And I'm assuming, you know, when you're working with the therapist, you know, that they would know if you're asking them, well, what can we do outside to work on the same skills that you're working on? And they would have suggestions for, you know, uncreative people like me.
Well, they should. They should, for sure. And they should be able to say, you know, say some examples of other places or other or things that they, that you can carry over into different environments. If they can't, call me, because I'll help you. That's part of what I do, is help families to carry this over into, you know, carry over skills into their homeschool day. And I would love to help you with that.
That's awesome. Great. Yep. And we'll have your contact information up now, and actually just put it up right here. It's homeschoolot.com. So yeah. Awesome. So next slide.
Yes, please.
All right.
All right, so here's these specific skills that I'm saying we are going to break down. So I think we're going to, you can go ahead. I think we're going to start with the process skills.
Okay. Motor skills.
Oh, just kidding. We are. We're going to start with the motor skills, not with the process skills. All right, so again, in occupational therapy, we look at each and every tiny little thing that there is. Okay, so these are, this comes from the occupational therapy practice framework, which is cited at the end. If you ever really want to read a document that's about 90 pages long and it's probably only interesting to occupational therapists, you are welcome to it.
More power to you. My eyes would glow.
It is cited at the end. Or you could just listen to me, because I'll try to break it down here a little bit for you. But, so these are, when we're speaking of motor skills, these are the actual ones that OTs are looking for. So stabilizing is obviously, holding your body straight and being able to stabilize the whole way. So that if you're sitting in a chair or if you're standing up, you're able to adjust your balance the way that you need to. You are aligning your whole body standing or when you're sitting, you know, if you have to lean over, is your head following the way that it is? Or is it tilting? Which then throws you off balance. Are you able to reach? That's typically from your shoulders, but are you able to reach to a target? You know, not just reaching out and missing exactly what you're looking for. Bending, that's from your waist. Gripping, can you grip? And know, so the next one is manipulate. So can you grip something and then be able to manipulate it or move it around? Can you coordinate both sides of your body or coordinate to do two different things? Like, for example, holding your paper with one hand and writing with the other. Or when you're climbing a tree, can you coordinate holding with one hand and reaching to the next tree stuff with the next? Moving is just very simple, but can you know exactly where you're going and project yourself in that direction? It's the same kind of thing with target accuracy when you're reaching. But can you move toward the target? Can you lift something? And then later on we have transport it. So can you lift? Can you walk? And can you transport that object? So many times people who are carrying something then lose their balance. So are you able to do those things? Calibrate is when you are gripping something like a water bottle. Are you holding it so tight that the water's coming out of the top or spilling over? Or if you're opening a container in the kitchen and you have to rip it open, is all the ingredients flying out because you are not able to hold it with the correct or calibrate it correctly? Slow would be, are you really jerky or can you just complete one motor task fluidly? Endurance and pacing kind of go hand in hand. So do you have enough endurance to make it to the end of whatever your task is? Or once you climb that tree, are you stuck at the top because you're so exhausted that you can't make that down?
We call that old age.
We might. Although I don't think I'm old and I don't have that much endurance, so I'm not sure.
Yes.
And pacing yourself, do you do things really quickly and then really slowly to get to the end? Or are you able to kind of go straight along throughout the entire task? And all of these take a lot of practice. But so when we're thinking about, you know, we get so many fine motor versus gross motor, but they're all really interconnected with these motor skills here. So some examples, if you go to the next slide, you can see kind of how nature can cater to these.
There we go.
All right. So this is all my kiddos. And here's how we are. They're always my example and they know it. And I always ask them beforehand if that's okay. But here we are. So you can see the picture on the left is my son who's climbing up a rocky wall. And he stopped to pose. But when he stopped to pose, he had to align his body and look how his feet are facing one direction, but then he turns his torso in the other direction. So that's a skill right within itself. Or is he really wobbly and has to turn himself that whole way around? So even these really simple things, you're working on your motor skills in that respect. And he's practicing so well outside. This next picture, my little guy who's he's got flowers right next to him and he was trying so hard not to pull them all off, all the petals off. And he poor sweet thing, he had a little mop in his hand first, which unfortunately met his demise in that moment.
Oh, no.
When he was trying to feed him back to the so that he could get all the pollen he needed from the flowers. But in that moment, right, the calibration of that grasp so that he wasn't smushing the moth and was holding right next to those flower petals, the delicacy of that moment. Those are the same types of things that carry directly over into holding a pencil and having it not break in your hand, or the amount of pressure that it takes to write on a piece of paper. You know, if you can, if you're outside and you're picking up acorns, which are harder, versus you're picking off these little petals of a flower, those are the same exact skills there. The next one is my five-year-old right after he learned to ride a bike. And, you know, when we're thinking about environments, look at the bumpy road that he's on in that, in that situation. Oh, so you have to be able to align your body very differently and stabilize your body there differently than if you're riding on a road. So these are skills that are translatable because the same thing happens. You know, if you are in your own home and you're switching over floors, you know, you're going upstairs or you're walking into the kitchen, which feels different. Those are the same skills. So you can take those therapy goals right outside. The next one is my two boys who decided they were going to dig this nice deep trench. We had just actually finished reading the book Holes and they were just all over it in my backyard.
I think every boy in their life has to dig a hole, you know, at least one. Yes.
They made little benches in it and everything, and they were waiting for rain to come, thinking they were going to have a pool. And you know, I was like, oh, buddy, you know how hard it's going to have to rain for that to stay? That's okay. It kept them very busy for a very long time. But And they were carrying over the literature that we had just read. So just within that, it was a great, you know, that's carrying over the homeschool goals. But therapy-wise, gripping that shovel and all of that upper body strength, again, that stabilization through their core and their shoulders. So this goes right along with the strengthening. For my son, who I was talking about his vision, being able to keep those lines exactly straight, those are the eye muscles that we were, you know, that's the same thing as far as calibration goes. So all of those, you know, just by being outside. So I was not specifically saying, hey, go climb up those rocks, because I really want to check how you can align and stabilize and reach. But instead, I put him outside and he was naturally doing it on his own.
That is a great point, that, you know, we can get so caught in the mechanics. And yet when you're having fun, all these things come together just in natural environments. And that's awesome. I love that
so much. When I talk to families and I'm talking about, yes, this is the science of it, right? So you're learning all of the specific motor skills that we look for, which goes again, right along with anatomy and with kinesiology. And even with physiology. So yes, you're learning the science of it, but you are the artist who gets to carry it over within your children, and just putting them in that environment and really help them to carry over these skills that they're working on in therapy, or carry over the skills that you're working on specifically in your, you know, home exercise program or whatever, putting them outside and they're naturally doing it.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then I'll bring you back. And Sarah's got a lot more, so you do not want to go anywhere. Brittany from our sponsor, and then I will bring her back. So I just want to thank Clearwater Press for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. What Clearwater Press has writing curriculum, which I've used with my kids, and I would highly recommend it. But they want you to know that learning to write should be immersive. After all, stories are immersive, not your writing curriculum. Press teaches imaginative, game-changing language arts on video for grades 6 through 12. Your student can create a magazine with a cover, with cover story. My daughter did that. She loved it. Write their own novel with the one-year adventure novel, or time travel as a journalist with Byline. You can visit them at clearwaterpress.com and harness the power of the story. So I'm thinking I have that quote. I might have put their website up wrong. I'll have to, yes, it's clearwaterpress.com. So definitely check that out. And if you have a middle schooler or a high schooler and you were looking for something maybe a little more creative for writing, check out their website. Again, kudos to them, because that magazine writing for my daughter, major for her. So, so I just want to put in that plug myself. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Also, I'm going to go check out Clearwater Press. My daughter, I think, would absolutely love that. She keeps talking about wanting to write.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, so the magazine one, you know, for the younger, my daughter illustrated it too. And then we did publish it. And it's so fun to look through because they do like a restaurant review, they do a poem, they write a short story, and all these different styles all in one little neatly packaged set. So it's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and speaking of, you know, the cognitive skills, we're actually going to head right on into, yes, process skills.
Yeah, well, here we go. Process skills.
But so process skills and cognitive skills really go hand in hand. But these are the small observable actions that were related to like interacting with other tools. Okay. So the first one, I can't even see on this because it's the way I have it set up. Okay. So the first
one. Oh, it is really small. Yeah.
Sorry, everyone. The first one is pacing, which goes along.
Pacing?
Yeah. Pacing. Yeah. So it goes along with the same thing that you would be thinking about with motor skills, except that this time you're pacing your endurance. Now your cognition and your ability to focus. You know, we all have times when you are really, you're tuned in, and then all of a sudden you're like, you know, and you're looking
right, at your ceiling
everywhere. But so pacing your brain almost so that you can stay focused. That's what that one has to do with.
Okay.
We have
no idea.
See, learning all of these important skills, right?
Exactly.
So we talked about pacing and then attending. So you have to pace to be able to attend, right? So you have to be able to keep your focus. Choosing. So that would be obviously making choices, but within when we're talking about using tools. So if we are choosing what item is going to be necessary for writing, or choosing even like a paintbrush or whatever, that you choosing your items that you want, and knowing that you're going to utilize it, which is the next one, using for the correct purpose. So this one always makes me think about the Little Mermaid, you know, when she's like using
the fork.
So that is choosing the right utensils and then using them for the way that they're supposed to be, right?
Great example.
They didn't know that they were considering occupational therapy within their movie.
No, they didn't.
Handling. So once you have these tools, are you handling them in the correct way? Or are you, you know, throwing your fork across the room? Do you know exactly what it should be used for and how to safely use it? Inquiring. So asking questions, or knowing, hey, here's something that I am confused about. Can you tell me more? Or I really wonder about this.
Oh, okay.
Right. Wondering and inquiring outside. I mean, that's like the best environment to encourage this.
Right. Because you run into so many things that you've never had before. It's always a new environment.
Yes. And in fact, I was telling you about my daughter who can be very, very tightly wound. And there was one day that I took her outside and I was like, you know what? We're just going to walk and walk until you tell me five things that you wonder about.
Oh, now, looking funny. Back,
it probably wasn't my best parenting moment because I was doing it out of a moment of really frustration.
Right.
But it served its purpose because after she stopped being like, Mom, and I don't wonder about anything because you're telling me to, then we both kind of took a deep breath and I calmed myself down and I was like, you know what? You're right. You're never going to wonder when I'm just saying, hey, ask me a question about that. But when we just calmed down and took in our surroundings, there really is so much that she does wonder about. And that gave us that opportunity to connect and to, for me to really encourage her in that situation. And that also goes right along with initiating. So if you do wonder about something, do you keep that inside, or are you able to then know what to do next about your inquiry? Can you find resources? Can you, or know who to ask a question to, or can you consider it based on something that you've already learned in the past? Continuing. So that is, it kind of goes right along with pacing and attending, but once you start something, can you continue it or are you always flooding off to find the next thing? Sequencing, so knowing when it starts first, what goes in the middle, and then terminating is knowing when something is over. I think about this one a lot. You saw a picture of my son climbing up a hill, or if we're talking about climbing up a tree, you have to know, what do I do first with my body? What do I do second? When should I stop? And then you should stop.
Right, exactly.
Before you're up at the top of this, you know, tree that is not very safe, and you're wobbling back and forth, because that has also happened on my watch. Searching. So searching would be, searching and gathering kind of go together. So if you know what you want to do, can you gather, find the supplies that you need, kind of come up with a plan in your head, go and find them, gather them, organize them so that you can use them, and then restoring would be putting them back. Now, restoring, I think, might be something that that we struggle with from
many people struggle with
in our lives.
It's either laundry put away, and
we have piles and piles all over it. It happens to the best of us, but that is something that we can be working on. And outside, are so many.
That's a very good point.
Going into even into national parks, you can talk about that, and that gives a very natural way of speaking of it. That you can't take things out of a national park, and you can observe it, but you're supposed to restore it exactly where it came from. And this is to protect the ecosystem and it's protect the animals that are out there. And it gives us a different way of talking about putting things away and building this habit without being like, go put your laundry away. I've told you this a million times, but but instead being able to naturally speak of it. And this is our nature, this is nature, and this is a habitat of another living thing. And then carry that over.
It takes the context out of the need to do that.
The more ways that we have to talk to our kids and to carry over and to use story and narrative within their days, it just gives us so many different opportunities and ways to connect. So the next one, negotiating. So negotiating would be, you know, if you see an obstacle in your way, do you know how to change your plan? Or not even, sometimes, yes, your motor plan. So I was climbing up this rocky hill and then a rock fell down. So that's one way of noticing and negotiating. So changing your motor plan, but also just looking safety-wise and scanning your environment and knowing, okay, this is what I need to do. This is what's around me, looking out for other areas. And then noticing and responding is the next one. So do you notice something that is not safe, or do you notice something that's around you? And how do you respond to that? How do you adjust your body? How do you adjust what your plan was for, you know, I'm going to go get in this water here. Oh, there's a water snake. No, I'm not. Let me turn around. You know, I have noticed, responded, and adjusted my plan. So all of those are the ways that we take process skills. And if you go to the next slide, I've got some examples there, again, of my own kids. So someday they're going to find all of these things, webinars and podcasts that I've done, and be like, oh, my goodness. But these, one of these is me, so I didn't actually use my children. But this one, I was out and we were, it's at this beautiful park that's really nearby us, and there is a creek. But then instead of building a bridge, they just put up a wire, trapeze, is that what you call it? I don't know, a wire line, I guess, to go across. So within that, yes, there obviously is a lot of motor skills to get across it. But I needed to come up with my plan first. I needed to notice what was there, to plan, okay, so how am I going to get there? Am I going to walk across the water? Am I going to choose to use this wire bridge? Am I going to ask somebody else for help? Like, these are all the process skills that you had to go through. And then walking across, one of my friends asked me to stop to take a picture. So that's an adjustment in what my original plan was. So again, all these process skills that I just naturally did because I was outside. And then my boy's hair climbing a tree, which I kind of talked a little bit about before. But if you look at the weather here, it was snowy that day, and they're climbing a tree. They climbed that same area about, I don't know, 977 times because it's really close by our house. But in that respect, they had to know what is different when it's raining and when it's snowy, and the tree's going to feel different. What I'm going to do with my body is going to be different. How high I can go is going to be different. No, so they have to notice the safety, or notice the variables, and adjust their safety there. So again, process skills just kind of naturally built in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Just the environment, and it could be the same place. Super.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and there are so many different days, and I don't know who said it first, but, you know, and they were talking about there is no bad weather. There's just bad clothing. And I actually think that is very true, because I want my kids outside, whether it's rainy and whether it's freezing, and because they do have different experiences in each one. You know, right now, as we're going out, they have to stick to the trails so much more because of ticks, and because of the, you know, all the different bugs and animals that are alive right now that we're hibernating in the winter. And so what they do is very different now versus what they did in the winter. And they're just two very, very different environments just because of the season. So the next one we've got, these are social skills. And wow, I can't read that at all the way that I have this set up. So I'm just,
let's see.
Here, if I
make try it without my glasses on here. Yeah, approaches.
Oh, I wonder if I pull it up on my own, then I can see them. So let me go.
Yeah.
So social skills always makes me laugh, because, you know, the, how many of you heard at the very beginning when you were going to say, yes, I'm going to homeschool, and they were talking about, oh, well, how are you going to socialize your children?
Socialize.
No, it is just everybody, I think, has heard that.
Right.
But we are providing natural opportunities for our children to interact with each other, to interact with us as parents when we're there, if we're in groups, to interact with others. And so I actually sometimes laugh, because when somebody does ask me that question, I want to be like, oh, well, did you know that there's actually 21 social skills? And would you like me to go through how I'm going to do that? I don't really think that's an appropriate answer, so I haven't. But, you know, now you all know there are specific social skills. And here is how we look at them, right, as occupational therapists. So the first one would be approaches. How do you walk up to a person, greet them? And, you know, this is very different with your friends versus your parents versus whoever, you know, your Sunday school teacher or the person, that the stranger down the street. It's a different skill based on each person. Can you start a conversation after you have approached them? Actually producing speech in itself is a social skill. Gesticulate. If you see me now on this webinar, you've probably seen my hands waving all over the place. I talk with my hands all day long, every day, and gesturing. And there are times when it's very obnoxious, but so appropriate gesturing, turning towards a person when you're going to talk to them and looking at them. So that's eye contact, one of the social skills. Touching, which who even knows what is appropriate touching right now. We can wait from 6 feet away. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Right. Knuckle bump.
Right. And yes. And when will that change? Who knows? But we will, you know, conquer that skill again.
Right.
Regulating our body. So I talked a little bit about sensory processing and how that regulation is, but are you able to regulate your body enough that you can focus and speak to another person? Or are you so overstimulated by a social situation that you are trying to avoid it? And either way, you know, again, God, we are perfectly and wonderfully made. And so each person is different, but us helping our children to work through that and to find out what their purpose is, find out what their sensory needs are can really help in an environment to help them get through. Do we ask appropriate questions? So before, that one of the process skills is, are you even inquiring? But then social skills is, are you asking those questions? And are you asking them at appropriate times? Or are you interrupting a million times and waiting for someone else? And then if someone does ask you a question, are you replying at an appropriate time? Are you replying with an appropriate answer? Discloses always makes me laugh, especially when we talk about social skills. You know, our kids just throwing out all of this information. I had my daughter one time we were in the doctor's office and she was asking about, you know, their well checkups, and she was asking about school, and my daughter was like, well, we don't go to school anymore. Oh, brother. That is one of those things where I'm like, okay, maybe we will go through what is appropriate to say and what is the best reply in that situation. You do a lot of school. It's just very different. Expresses emotion. So are you able to identify your feelings, and then can you tell them to other people? Are you expressing them appropriately so that people can help you with your emotions?
Yes.
Disagreement, man, is this an important one, especially, you know, can you be respectful when you're disagreeing with somebody and have a conversation and work through it? I think if there is one social skill that I can work on with my children, it is to politely disagree with a person and be able to stand on their own 2 feet in that. Giving thanks, and especially towards other people that are around you, or giving thanks to adults, giving thanks to people who are younger than you, being able to interact with people of all different ages and to have these same skills, transitioning. So moving between activities, or even between different environments. So transitioning in that way, being able to time your response to others. So are you following the same conversation that I am? Or are you still back on, we were talking about, you know, motor skills, and now you want to ask me a question about that. So are you able to time those responses? Taking turns. Again, that is, taking turns and sharing are two very interesting things that were, I think, coming out of COVID that our kids are very confused about. So I think that's going to take a lot of time. That's going to be something, watching how we come out of this one. Matching languages, I think, is another really interesting way. You know, am I talking to my mom the same way that I talk to my daughter, the same way that I talk to the neighbor down the street? You know, those are two different ways that are very different ways that I should be talking. Uh-oh, I think, Peggy, we lost her. Okay, well, I'm just going to keep going and hope that she gets back. She's been in a hotel, and so she, I think her internet might have gone out. So I'm just going to keep going, and hopefully she can come back and join us. The next one was clarifies. So are you able to clarify what you're saying? So if you start with a question, and then I'm confused about it, can you then clarify your answer? The next one would be matching your knowledge. So if I am talking to you specifically about one thing, and then you already know about it, are you able to tell me that appropriately without being like, I already know that? You know, there are two different ways to speak through that. Oh, you are back. I lost you for a minute.
Yep. That's okay. My internet is really not good at this hotel, and I'm going to pull the slides again. Thank you for just keeping going on.
I just kept trying on going, and I was like, well, I think she'll come back.
Yep. That's what I told you to do. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. It's always unpredictable.
Especially when you're traveling. I get it. Right now, what we're doing is I'm empathizing, you know, and that is another one of those social skills. Accommodating, which would be if I can tell that you're having kind of internet issues, or I can tell that there's something that's happening, can I change what I'm doing and accommodate for you? So that is a social skill in itself. And then the last one would be benefits. So can I tell when I'm in a situation, can I look at you and tell if you are benefiting from that situation as well, or am I more self-centered and what we say at that point? Am I being all about Sarah.com? Am I really open to what is happening with other people around me?
So that's your list of all the social skills. Yeah.
Now,
it's nice to see it that way.
Yeah. Someone asks you how you're going to socialize your children. You can give, well, I'm going to make sure that they can approach someone and that you can really go into the itty bitty basics of it.
Right. Instead of, stick them in a classroom with a bunch of kids the same age and that we're calling a socialization. I like your definition better. Yes.
We can go to the next one and I can show you. So in nature, you know, just being around more than one person, you're already catering to those social skills. But even within groups, it naturally encourages these as well. And you can see in these pictures, you know, we have people of all ages that are coming within our groups. There's other parents who are pouring into my children. There are other kids that are around of all ages. You can see my daughter, who is one of the older ones within this group, and the little ones who are following along. I have a picture of her last week where there was like five little girls who were like holding onto her, and a few of her of the other kids the same age are holding onto their shirts and pulling them along. And this helps them. You know, we talked a little bit about matching languages. And so are you talking to these kiddos the way that you should be? You know, these are all social skills that when you are outside in nature, that gives them something else to talk about. You know, she's saying to these little guys, hey, look around. Do you see this cloud? And what do you imagine that cloud can be? And coming up with just natural questions to engage other people around them. And they do it. This, when you're outside, it gives you something to talk about and something to relate to people that even if they're brand new to your life or brand new to you, you're in the same space and you have something to talk about.
It's that commonality. So important.
Last picture that's there is my youngest son, and he was in the front of our blow up kayak. And even when we are thinking about social skills, even when we're thinking about our own time and our own social skills, with our children, when you are one on one with them outside and you're pouring into them and you are giving them your full attention, think about all of the number one, how they feel and what they know that they're getting from you and you are modeling to them, but also the things that they come up with at that point in time. And you're relating at a totally different level that you can carry on later on.
Yes. Oh, that's a great point. Yes. It's those new opportunities that you wouldn't have had before. Love that. Very cool.
So you have, for those of you who are, so who are interested in doing nature groups outside. So like I mentioned at the very, very beginning, we started a nature group. All that we did basically was open up the All Trails app on our phones and come up with the trails that are nearby to us. And at that point, we just started a Facebook group and started posting where we were going to be that Friday. And people started coming. And so it was that simple, that we are just meeting outside. Now we did start doing some nature lessons. And specifically, you know, I mentioned at the beginning that it wasn't until we started going outside a lot that I really started to pay attention to the differences in my kids. And they started to ask me questions and I didn't know any of the answers because I was not an outdoor person. So we started with exploring, so we started with exploring nature with children. It's actually a really, really inexpensive curriculum. Raising Little Shoots, you can find her on Instagram. I think you can also if you Google it, you can show come up there. And what that curriculum does is it provides a like a topic for every week, 52 weeks out of the year, a topic for every week. And there's a poem, there's a picture study. It relates it to Comstock's nature guide. So you can, for kids who want to go really more in depth, it provides picture book options. So it was really integral for us at the beginning, because then I could say, hey, this is what we're this week we're talking about moons, or this week we're talking about, you know, mini beasts is one of them when she's talking about bugs. And so it gave us something really specific to look
at. Cool.
Now that my kids are older and that we've been doing this for a while, I actually brought it. We have the Law's Guide to Nature Drawing and Nature Journaling, which is beautiful. And this book really, he goes into a lot of the questions that you can ask when you're outside. Things like, I notice, I respond, I wonder about. Some of actually the exact language that I was using there. He talks about making Venn diagrams and comparing to, you know, my son was doing it today with a porcupine and a hedgehog. And so what are, you know, comparing what is the same, what is different of the two. He also does a lot of how to draw within this guide.
Neat.
He has a bazillion YouTube videos too. And so this is what we're using now. We basically go outside and I say, what do you, you know, what do you see? Or what is something that, you know, piqued your interest? Or what is something different this season versus the last time we were out here? And they start with that. And that's, and then I have found that that has given them enough freedom, but also enough boundaries, because it's something that they see. So they can always find something that they see or they feel or they smell. You know, we talk a lot about their senses, and then they start to draw or to do whatever there. Our nature journals, I brought this too. I don't know if I can really show it that well, but so we do a family nature journal instead of having a big one, you know, for each kid. I take out clipboards with us, and they're the clipboards that, you know, open on the inside so we can put art supplies in there. You might see nurses using them, actually.
Yep.
One of the ones that I have, I ordered, and I didn't realize it was a nurse's one. It has all kinds of, you know, blood pressure norms and things on the back. Just in case.
So just in case. Yeah, exactly.
But I put paper in there, and they have, everybody has colored pencils, and we're using watercolor pencils so that they can add to their drawings and things. And then we come home and they all get put into one notebook. So we have, you know, what my son does at the same time as what I drew, and my same time that my 5-year-old drew, the same time that my daughter, you know, did. And so they're all just together. They're not always the same topic, but they're all together.
Okay.
And over the years, you know, this is our third year that we've been doing this, and to watch their drawings from my son when he was 2 when we started this, and now he's 5, and then what he'll be doing later on. I mean, it's just to watch the progression is beautiful.
Yeah. Really, yeah. It is nice to see those changes and to have that history. You're watching just their skills increase and their observation and all of those things. They're showing up on those papers.
Talking specifically about our therapy goals, I mean, so many people, again, are going into therapy for their fine motor control. And it's so hard when we're asking them to write more and more and more sentences. But we get them outside, and you ask them to find something that they see and then draw it on their paper.
Right.
And it's just more, it is more natural, but also look at, you know, they probably have also already gone for a walk and they might have climbed something around. So their bodies are more prepared to be able to sit and to write.
Yes. So good. Yeah. Yeah. They need that movement before they sit down and do the work.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can move on to the next one.
All right. We're up to an hour already, so I don't know if we go through.
You can actually go right past that one, because what I was talking, well, I mean, the really important thing here is what when you are working with a direct therapist, and how I kind of mentioned this already about how they should be able to give you some ideas for specific adaptations when you're moving into going outside.
Great. Yes. Awesome. And you got some favorite books too and resources?
Yes. There we go. So some of my very favorite ones for being outside, Balanced and Barefoot. And she talks a lot about sensory processing and being outside and how the skills that you can accomplish when you are out there, speaking specifically towards regulating your body. Then the Out of Sync Child has fun. Carol Kranowitz does this very similar thing. He's not very specific about being outdoor activities. Some of them are inside, but some are also outside. Laura Park Figueroa is another occupational therapist. She opened a practice out in California that is all nature-based. And so she has a book, Therapy in the Great Outdoors. And that one is geared more towards occupational therapists, but there are kid-tested activities that are within there as well. So those are my three favorite resources for bringing your therapy goals out there.
Awesome. Well, that's good to get started with the other two that you suggested, and good resources for parents. If they don't know what to do, they can get started with those. So awesome. And
these were just, I told you I was going to list how you can find the good old OTPF.
Yes. Okay.
In case anyone wants to read that 90-page document.
Okay. Yep. More power to you.
So that's it.
Yeah, so people can find you at homeschoolot.com. And your email is sarah@homeschoolot.com. And you're on Instagram at homeschoolot.
You're finding a nice theme here. Yep.
Yes, and your Facebook group is Homeschool Ideas. So,
Facebook group has several different OTs from across the nation. And homeschool families. And so people can ask questions and share ideas in that way. And I have also, I created a course for occupational therapists on homeschooling. So that hopefully when you go into, you know, if you need this direct therapy and you're going in there, you're not hearing all of these, what? You can't homeschool your kids or, you know, all of these questions that, that we as homeschoolers often get. So hopefully, I have a list of people in each, not every state yet, but I'm working on it. So if you are looking for a direct therapist, if you, contact me, I can make sure that I can find you somebody in your state.
Great. That's a great resource. Yes. We would love to connect with Sarah on her website, homeschoolot.com. And yeah, just an incredible resource you are for parents who are, you know, taking their kids out of school or COVID homeschooling and going, how do we continue with therapy goals? I think we get so set in that if we don't go to therapy all the time, and then we're just not going to reach those goals for our kids. But I think you kind of squashed that this hour. So thank you for doing that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there definitely is a time and a place for having direct therapy and to go into the clinic and to work with therapists. But there also is a way to just naturally embed this in your day. And hopefully your therapist is working with you on that and how to do that. So I think the more and more we can get outside, our kids have just these natural abilities and natural desires to be able to achieve these goals.
And you're building lifelong skills too that they can take into, you know, just their daily lives to continue improving. You know, we as adults, we need to be outside too, so it's important. So great. Yeah. Well, thank you, Sarah. I appreciate all of that you've shared. It was just, it taught me a lot of things I never knew too. So that's why I love doing this show. I learn a lot, and the audience just comes along for the ride. And, we have one viewer who was watching on YouTube, and she said, I have to catch this in the morning, but want to thank you for doing such an important work.
You. You are very welcome. I love what I do. I love it. I hope that comes across.
It does. It It shows. Yeah. And Terry said, you ladies are impressive. As an educator for many years, I appreciate your work. So, awesome. Thank you, Terry.
I appreciate you too.
Yeah. So yeah, well, thank you, Sarah. Always impressed and always learning something new from you. So it's always great to have you on. So thank you again for joining us.
You're very welcome. I love this too.
Yeah. And we want to thank Clearwater Press for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. You can check out their website at clearwaterpress.com if you're looking for a writing curriculum for 6th through 12th graders. Something I highly recommend. And last week, we're going to be talking about learning outdoors. It's not going to be on Tuesday night, though. It's going to be on Wednesday night. So I wasn't able to make it Tuesday. So next week, different day, same time. So still time 8 to 9 o'clock. And we are going to talk about forming learning around outdoor experiences from a curriculum developer who is with Winter Promise. And I don't know if you know about Winter Promise. I just happened upon them on the internet, but they have all this outdoor learning curriculum. And so he writes this, and it's what you're doing outside and turn it into learning. So that's going to be exciting. Can't wait.
I have two new things to look up. Because I was just thinking about the Clearwater Press, about that magazine, mm-hmm. if you could do it as a nature journal.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you can do anything with it. Because it just, whatever theme you decide to go with, you can do that. But yeah, great idea. Just pull it all together. we're getting all curriculum for next year settled right now.
I had no idea that was what I was doing today, but now I have a plan.
Yes. Well, awesome. Can help you too. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank all of you for joining us. Yeah, you are welcome. We are here every Tuesday night, usually, Wednesday next week, but just talking about different things to teach your unique learner, empower you to do that well. And that's what our goal is here at Homeschool. So thank you for joining us, everybody. And we will see you next week right here on Empowering Homeschool Conversation. Have a great week, and we'll see you then.
Have you ever attempted to read the entire Bible? Did you do it, or did you only make it part way? I'm John Stonge, and I host a podcast that will make it possible for you to make it through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. I've been hosting the Chapter a Day Audio Bible Podcast since 2015, and every single day of the week, I read one chapter of Scripture, then follow that up with a time of prayer. And if you're looking for daily insights and inspiration directly from God's Word, I hope you'll give the Chapter a Day Audio Bible a listen. You can find it at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.